Welcome to Falls International Baptist Institute, and we're going to be starting tonight with class 9. Tonight we're going to be dealing with the subject of modesty. Last week we dealt with chastity, or being chaste, and that is one of the virtues in our list in Titus chapter 2. And as we talk about being chaste, it relates very closely to modesty, so we're going to deal with modesty today. And we'll start with the word of prayer. I'm going to start immediately. I hope everyone there is doing well. We have some here that need prayer. Still have coronavirus and issues like that going around and with people associated with the church, so we sure appreciate prayer for them as well. And we're praying for you over there in Ghana. So let's jump right in and go ahead and talk to the Lord in prayer and then get started. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to come to you and pray. Lord, I thank you that you care about every part of our lives. And Lord, I pray for each lady tonight, Lord, that you bless them. I pray, Lord, as I teach tonight, Lord, that you help me, that what I say would be pleasing to you. And then I pray also, Lord, that you help the ladies, Lord, that they be open and attentive, and Lord, that you help them, Lord, to study, to show themselves approved. And that, Lord, you help. This is a tough topic to teach. It's just a much debated topic, and probably going to have some things that maybe some people listening don't agree with. And Lord, I've tried my best to study and to get the Word of God on it. And Lord, I pray that you help, Lord, that where we disagree, we realize we'll all stand before you. And Lord, that we're still sisters in Christ and continue living for you and being open to what you might show us. And Lord, I pray that you just help again, that I be clear, help me not to go too fast, and just bless each lady. I pray, keep her in good health, bless her as she takes care of her families. And we thank you for what you'll do. In Jesus' name, amen. And I also request some prayer for Denise tonight. She's not feeling well tonight, so we need to pray for her. She wasn't able to be here because of that. So, okay, we'll get started today with the topic of modesty. Let's look at two scriptures here. I'm not going to start in Titus 2. We know it said chaste. I already said how chaste is very closely related to modesty. Actually, the word chaste and modest are synonyms, and they carry some of the same connotations. And so that is why I felt like this was a good time and a good place to start with the verses on modesty and just fit modesty in here. This is definitely something that Christian women, we need to hear, and we need to make sure that we are exemplifying modesty. So let's read these verses and get started. I see my husband decided I was not loud enough and moved this thing closer. So anyway, we'll go with 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. In like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Then I go to 1 Peter 3, 1 through 3. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. And it goes on and it brings in the modesty part. Whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of flaying the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel. And we could go on. It talks about but that meek and quiet spirit. I know I'm cutting some of the verses. I'm not cutting anything out that relates to this. I'm just trying to be very, very to the topic tonight so I don't lose time. So I can speak slowly, hopefully. There's a lot to cover, so I'm going to try to stick to my topic. So, modesty. It's a much debated topic. Many think that modesty is dictated by culture and individual preference. In other words, what you feel is modest may not be what I feel is modest. We're each entitled to our own opinion. And some think that it's legalistic to believe that God teaches exactly what modesty is. Some get very angry, get livid, when one tries to lay out biblical principles of modesty. Now tonight, I want to be clear, I have no desire to cause strife. In fact, I like to be liked. I want you to like me. I don't like to cause strife. In spite of that, it would be remiss of me to skip this topic just to avoid displeasing people. Because this, as it's related closely to chastity, it's a virtue that God wanted taught. And it's something that is very hard for the men to deal with because it includes topics that I think a woman can say to other women a lot easier than a man can say to women. So I'm taking on the hard topic tonight, and not out of
I'm supposed to do it willingly, but I am. I just pray for me, and please, I'm not your enemy. And if we disagree on something, feel free to talk to me about it later. Feel free to, you know, we can have conversations. I wish we could open it up during class, and I wish we could take multiple class periods for this. And I wish you could sit down with you ladies in God, or bring you over here and you could sit with our ladies and we could just have a round table discussion. I think that'd be good, but we don't have the opportunity to do that, so we'll do the best we can with this format. So I do want to say something else. Modesty, just like with every other virtue, it's first an issue of the heart before it becomes an issue, before it evidences itself in our outward actions and apparel. I want to say, too, that I understand that a lot of people almost throw out this whole subject because they've seen somebody who's been inconsistent. And I want to say there are a lot of people, let me read it how I put it, there have been inconsistencies on both sides of this issue. While one person claims a modest heart, doesn't have to have any external evidence, another person claims, you know, they've got this out modest exterior that they're flaunting and they have a very immodest heart. And so I believe that Matthew 23, verse 23 applies. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. What God is saying is that they're both important. The Pharisees were focusing on this issue, and they were acting like this wasn't as important because it wasn't as obvious. And they were taking little things, and God, what God has always, if they're both important. And that's the point I'm trying to make by that verse. God desires that our outside match our heart. Here's another verse that came to mind. James 3:12. James is asking the question. He's talking to people who's, they have cursing and blessing coming out of the same mouth. And this verse follows. Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. His point was, you say you're a Christian and you're cursing. If you're a Christian, what's in the heart is going to come out the pub. And what he's saying here is that what's in the heart is going to reveal itself. And that is what I'm saying tonight. Modesty in the heart has, it's going to reveal itself. Now, we may need instruction on the ways it can reveal. We're all growing. And I'm getting ahead of myself. So let me just go back. As I teach, please know, I'm not judging anyone who may disagree. I understand that some have never been taught on this subject. Some have come to different conclusions than maybe I'm going to share tonight. We're all at different levels of knowledge and growth in our Christian lives. God is continually working on me and showing me areas to improve. All I ask is that you listen with an open mind and that we all study to show ourselves approved unto God. And I'll end with a verse that talks about that. So let's get started with the definition here of modest, modesty, modest. It's properly restrained by propriety. Now, if I were going to ask how many of you know what the word propriety means, I bet nobody is going to raise their hand and say, me, I know what it means. Here's what it means. It means suitableness. In other words, is it fitness, appropriateness? Another definition of propriety is according to established rules and customs. Rules and customs. I get laughed at for how I say that. That's my Pennsylvania Dutch coming out. So, according to established rules and customs, that is what it means. So, properly restrained by what is suitable, by what is appropriate, by what is according to established rules and customs. I'm going to get to this later, so I don't want to say much now, but our established rules and customs are established rules that were laid down in the 1800s, or the 1700s, or the 2000s. It's the Bible, the Word of God. That's our established customs and rules. That's where we get it from. Another definition for modest, of good behavior, orderly. Another one, not forward or bold. When we talked about being chaste, that was something that we saw that was the opposite of being chaste. Someone who's forward, they're putting themselves, they're vaunting themselves would be a biblical word. They're being bold. Modest is not that. Not presumptuous or arrogant. Someone who is modest is not going to be braggadocious. They're not going to be bragging on themselves and their accomplishment and things, and I'm going to get into that. I'll try to stick to the definitions. Not loose or lewd. This is referring to morality, and a harlot would be loose and lewd. This person is not loose or lewd. They're modest. They're moderate. They're not excessive or extreme. Modesty also deals with not being excessive in the way we put ourselves forth, not being extreme. And then decorous, that's a word I had to look up as well. That's a word that was actually part of the Greek definition, and it was very interesting because I thought decorous had to do with decoration. And it does, because our clothing are what we adorn ourselves with. But it means suitable to a character, suitable to the place, the occasion, becoming, proper, befitting. We might say, oh, her dress was befitting a queen. And that's how we would use that word. God wants us to be modest. Our clothing should be fitting to a godly woman. This should be something that people would say, that's proper for a woman who has good works and who is pleasing to God. That is proper for her to be wearing. That's what we're looking at tonight. And we're going to deal with more than just what she's wearing, but I do want to spend the majority of our time with clothing because it's a very necessary topic. Synonyms. So I'm not going to go through all of these. I have them listed in the notes. You'll notice it has chaste and discreet. Those are synonyms of the word modest. Also, we just talked about some of them: becoming, proper, befitting, orderly, wholesome, blushing. Those are things that go with the word modest. Now, antonyms are going to be boastful, arrogant, conceited, proud, vaunting themselves, assertive or pushy, bold, someone who's forward. They're not bashful in any way. They're the exact opposite of someone who's shy and bashful. Now, that doesn't mean that someone is outgoing is not modest. You can be outgoing in a modest way. And I'll explain what I mean as I get down to some of the exact, as we look at how a person is modest. Some other antonyms of this deal more with our attire would be indecent, immodest, distasteful, shameless. We might say that girl is shameless. We might make that comment about someone. Improper or lewd again, impure, inappropriate, racy. These are topics. Vulgar, trashy, something I hear used a lot, and I do not even like to use the word, it's just me. But you hear the people talk about, oh, that's sexy. The whole connotation of that is not just that she's a beautiful woman, it's that she's provoking, she's provocative to the men, and it has just a whole wrong connotation. As Christian ladies, we don't desire to be that way. That's not how we're trying to put ourselves forth. And in fact, I would say this, when we talked about to love our husbands, that's where all of that gets put out. That's where you can be with your husband. God means, the Bible says marriage is honorable and all. That's where you can step out of that bashfulness and you can be for your husband that wife that he needs you to be. And it's a blessing that God's given to the marriage. And you can be all those things that other people are with all the men. God meant you to save all of that, that important, that those intimate things are to be safe for just your husband. And so that, I don't want to go any further. I'm going to take too long. So let's look at modesty. And let's look at the ways that modesty should portray itself. Let's start with a modesty in her belief, in her attitude. That's her inward. Someone that is modest, I tried to give a concise statement. She has a proper fear of God affecting her value of herself and others. So let's look at, an attitude is a settled way of thinking or feeling about someone or something, and it's reflected in one's behavior. So your attitude towards something is going to show in how you behave. But let's look first at that inward attitude. She's pure in thought. That word is described by what we just studied last week, chaste. She doesn't think of anything that is improper. Her thoughts are holy thoughts. The things she allows her to think of are morally proper. Their thoughts, she's not thinking about men in ways she ought not think. Therefore, she's not going to behave in immodest ways. But also, when we think of being modest, we can think of someone who, pure in desire. So she does not desire attention. And this can refer to not just her body. It refers to her abilities. You know, she's not a show-off in what she's accomplished. Hey, look at me. I make the best this. I do this better than anybody else. And a lot of times we would never speak that way, but there are people who act that way and come across that way in the way they're saying. This lady, in her deepest heart, she doesn't want glory for herself. She's not trying to take it for what she does. She's not trying to take it for her body. She's not trying to draw attention for her body and how she looks and how she's created. She wants God to get the glory in everything. That's the person who is modest. A modest person gives glory to God and also will deflect glory to other people. If someone, you know, sometimes people say, you know, wow, you, maybe they give you a compliment for something you do, and you can deflect that compliment and say, oh, so-and-so taught me how to do that. She was a great teacher. They deflect that. They don't say, oh, yeah, tell me more, you know, and just accept it all and desire that. She wants God to get the glory. She wants God to be pleased with everything about how she acts, how she does, how she looks. She desires that her life show a clean Christian character so others will come to know the Savior. So what she acts like, what she thinks, that's her desire, her inmost desire. She doesn't think highly of herself, like she's more important than others. And she doesn't think lowly of others. Like, I think of the scripture in James that talked about treating one person better because he came in nice apparel and the other person came in and he was poor and you could tell. She's not like that. She's modest. She has a proper estimation of herself based on God and the Word of God, and she looks at others and she loves them for who they are, doesn't judge them by their appearance or their money or their social status. But then, so that's how she is inside, and that definitely, it dictates how she acts. My husband always says belief dictates behavior, and it's true. As we look at this, so let's look at modesty in action, her modesty in behavior. She behaves based on her modest heart. So because of that, she's not proud and arrogant. She doesn't go around flaunting her knowledge or her abilities and how much better she is than everybody else. She's not snobby. Have you ever heard of a woman, we call it stuck up. I don't know what the term would be in Ghana. But, you know, we see, I got teased about being that the other day because I walked right by someone I know and did not see them. I never have done that purposely, and I don't want to do that. But not snobby. She doesn't think she's better than others, and so she treats people with partiality. If you have something, some way you can benefit me or help me, oh, man, we're best buddies. But you're not. You can't do anything for me. You're poor. You're probably going to taint my reputation if I hang around you. That she's not like that. She's modest. She doesn't put on airs. I don't know if that's probably something I need to explain. You know what I mean by saying that, yes. So it's acting like you're better than others. She just carries herself like she's more important than she really is. That's putting on airs. She's not flirty or forward. We talked about this last week. Someone who's flirty or forward, they're trying to get attention from the men. Someone who's modest does not behave that way. She's not trying to get the men's attention. She's not initiating relationships with men. That's foreign today. It's encouraged for women to be different. We've broken down those roles, R-O-L-E-S, and we've said, oh, women, we don't have to put them in a mold the way they need to be, but God's the one that created this mold, and God said the woman is the responder, the man is the initiator. And so she doesn't initiate relationships with men. And she's not trying to be the center of attention anytime, but especially when men are around. She's modest. And we have different personalities. I'm not trying to judge anyone, or I'm asking us to judge ourselves. You know when you're trying to get someone's attention. I remember a time, sixth grade I think it was, where I kind of liked a young man, and the Lord embarrassed me greatly. Something happened, and I was trying to get his attention, and I embarrassed myself greatly. Tripped and fell because of trying to do that. And Lord, it was just a lesson to me that I should not be doing that. But this lady, she's not trying to, it doesn't quit with some people. That's childish. As we get older, we all put that away. We don't try to get attention from the men, and especially sexual attention. We're not trying for that. We don't want that at all. She's not sensual in her body language. This is something the Bible talks about in Proverbs 6:25. It says, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. You know, the women have a way of, my husband tries to flutter his, and what he does is he rolls the whites of his eyes. He can't do it right. But she doesn't play with her eyes and just roll her eyes or wink at the men or get their attention. You know, women, we can speak with our eyes. We do it to our kids all the time, not in this same way. But we give them a look like, you do that again, you are in big trouble. You know, we have that look with our eyes. In fact, when I do it, I catch myself in the rearview mirror or something, I see my mom every time. It's like, oh, no, I didn't straighten up. But anyway, we're not giving looks to the men, winking at them, and trying to draw their attention just with our eyes. You know, some people are very subtle at how they do this. And modesty does not even, in a subtle way, try to attract wrong attention. Also, her walk. I've heard it called the barn door swinging. You know, that walk. I don't want to illustrate. I actually said, please, men, everybody leave. I don't want to teach this in front of men. But the modest woman isn't walking like that, trying to get attention and that we don't do that. Now, another thing, how she sits. And this is important because you can be dressed very modestly. And I've seen people that dress very modestly, but they don't understand the point of modesty. And they're not careful about how they sit. They sit down, they've got a skirt on, their legs are crossed. They sit up, you can see straight up their skirt. That's not proper. Now, accidents happen. The older I get, I'm not as careful about how I move. Accidents happen. I tried to put my shoe on the other day, but I fell backwards. You know, I mean, things happen. One time I was bending into my car in the windy South Dakota weather, and I had a full skirt on. My skirt went over my head, and it took a while to extract it and get it back down. Things happen. I'm not talking about, and thankfully no one, I quickly am trying to make sure, once I got my skirt off my head, trying to make sure with anybody around that anybody see. But, you know, accidents happen. We're not talking about the accidental things. We're talking about people. I'm not even talking necessarily about someone purposely doing that. We know that's really wrong to purposely expose yourself. I'm talking about just being careless in that way and not, you know, it's not an accident. You just don't even think about it. We've got to be careful, women, to be modest. And then the last thing that I would say in the way she acts, she's not provocative. I think of the selfie pictures that everybody is putting up all the time, and some of them are just fun and they're just having fun, but a lot of times that look, you know, the model that puts on the clothes and walks down the, what do they call that, the catwalk or whatever, and yes, they get that look and that walk and that act. If we're not, a Christian woman should never be known for those looks and those walks. She shouldn't be provocative. She shouldn't be sexy. Those are not terms that ought to be used about a godly woman. And so now we're going to get to the part that gets into a little things that maybe sometimes can become a little divisive. And I don't want to be divisive, but I want to try to throw some things out here for us. I want to say this. Apparel, she's also modest in her apparel. So she's modest in her attitude. She's modest in her actions. She's modest in her apparel. She's modest in her body. You know, some people say, well, it only matters what's in the heart. And I hear that a lot. But modesty that's in the heart will come out. Now, I know that sometimes there are times that we may be immodest and not realize it. Well, I'm going to give another personal example. When I was a teenager, I stepped outside the church onto some steps, and the sun was shining brightly, and my brother immediately tried to grab me and pull me back into the house, and my shirt was see-through, and I did not know it. You could see straight through my shirt, and I might as well not have the outward shirt on as much as you could see. It was pink, different color, you know, but I didn't know that. Things happen, but the godly woman doesn't want to accidentally do that. She wants to try, and she tries to think ahead of those things because she doesn't want to cause a stumbling block to someone. So we want to be modest in our body, in the way we portray ourselves, in our apparel. So I want to say, I mentioned before, some people define modesty by culture, but we can't do that because culture changes. Mm-hmm. Even today, in today's 2020, looking at different countries, one might define modesty. If we went to, there was that tribe that the man was trying to reach that, I don't know if you heard the story, but he was a missionary trying to reach them. People were upset that he tried to reach them because they've been untouched by civilization. And one of the ways that they wear no clothing. They are totally naked. A loincloth would be modest compared to that. But is a loincloth modest? Is that something we should be going around in? No. Look at swim clothes. The nudist beach might think that a bikini was modest. You know, I mean, I'm being extreme on purpose. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to make you realize that we have got to have a standard. We've got to have a standard. If we don't have a standard, then it's up to our opinion. And I don't believe God left us without some standards.
Right.
And that's what I want to try to lay out for you, some of the standards that I see in the Word of God. The Bible has clear verses and principles that we can study, and we can get some idea of what God desires in our apparel. So, using the definitions that I gave you, I want to say this statement. I'm a little ahead of myself here. I want to read, actually, 1 Timothy first. I'm going to come back to that statement, because that statement, I'm going to define some words before I do it, because they're part of my statement. So, 1 Timothy 2:9, we're going to read it again. We read it already. In like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety. We're going to stop there, because we're going to deal with those two words. Shamefacedness. We don't hear that word today. It's not a word we use. And some would say that's archaic. That's how women acted. But these are things, this is something God said he wanted with women. And it means downcast eyes, bashfulness toward men. reverence toward God, excess of modesty. I thought that was interesting, an excess of modesty in the way she handles herself and everything, towards men especially. This is what shamefacedness means. So God says he wants women to adorn themselves in modest apparel, with excess of modesty, with bashfulness toward men. Think of a lot of the clothing today. I'm just going to throw this out there ahead of some of it. Is it showing any kind of bashfulness toward men and what men might think? Okay, sobriety. We touched on that before with the word sober. That means soundness of mind, self-control, a seriousness. When I think of that, I think of women, if we would be sober and have a proper sobriety, we would realize how important this topic is. We would realize that we do not want to be a stumbling block to another man. Now, I want to say some things, and I don't want to get too off track because I want to cover everything I have here. Men are responsible for their actions. A man makes choices based on, you know, what he sees. The choices he makes are his responsibility. But we have a responsibility in that. If we expose ourselves in an improper way and go before a man, we are partly responsible toward him for his reaction. Now, yes, could he do the right thing? I try to teach my boys, turn your head. When you see something, turn your head immediately. Get away. Do like Joseph. Run away. There's a responsibility to the man. I'm not dealing with the man today. I'm dealing with us. And there is a responsibility, women. We have to be careful that we're not being a stumbling block, that we're not causing a man to lust. And so let me stick with my notes because I wanted to be careful to try to say things the way I wanted to say them. So let me jump back up to my definition here. Just a statement here using these definitions. So clothing should be becoming, proper, suitable to a Christian woman, advertising good behavior and purity. So when you put your clothes on, you think, is this suitable for a Christian woman to wear? Does this advertise good behavior and purity? Is that what people think when they see this? She should dress appropriate to biblical principles. Notice I'm using the definitions. Her clothing should be appropriate to biblical principles. With excessive modesty, God says, and bashfulness toward men, and soundness of mind. That's modesty. So we've been exposed to so much in our generation that our consciences have been seared. You lay a hot iron, on your skin, and you're going to burn your skin. You're going to feel it. It's going to hurt like crazy at first, but after a while, you will not even feel it anymore. We're like that with our eyes. We have seen so much. Things which once horrified us gradually have lost their horror because they become so common. We have all been affected to some degree. You know, it happens so gradually that I think a lot of times we don't realize it's like that boat that's drifting a little at a time. And they don't realize they're drifting. It's not like they got the motor on. They don't even realize until they look up and look back at the standard, the shore. And they say, oh, wow, we've really drifted. If we don't have that standard to hold us down, we're just looking at the world, we're going to be drifting right along with them, and we're not going to realize how far we've moved from the Word of God, which is that shore, that standard we should be looking to. So we can't be the judge of what's right. We cannot judge it by how we feel or what we think. We've got to yield to God's unchanging Word. We're constantly bombarded by styles that have been developed by wicked people. Fashion designers, I'm not saying all of them, but many of them are some of the most wicked people that you will ever meet. If you read their own statements about what they have created, many times you would never wear it just based on what they say they created it to accomplish. So many of them, most of them, are created to be provocative. That means to arouse a man to improper sexual thoughts and actions. That's what they're created for. And sensuality, which is against the Word of God. God's not for things that are like that. The Bible says in Romans 12:2, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So modesty is not defined by an era or a culture, but it's not also defined by a style or a religion. That's not what defines what modesty is. We can't say, let's go back to 1830 and everyone ought to dress like that. I have no idea how to dress in 1830. I picked it randomly. we're not to do that. We're not saying, well, this religion is modest. Let's be this religion. Let's dress like they say. No, we're going to go to the Word of God. What does the Word of God say? We have the freedom to be unique as individuals. You may like one color and style, and I may like another color and style. We have that freedom. We're only limited by the Word of God and the principles that it lays out. I've heard a saying, and I could not remember the saying today, and I didn't try for it. There's a popular saying that I like to answer with my own. The way I would answer it is, we are not identical twins, you're right, but we are family, and there should be some resemblance. We're not meant to be carbon copies of each other, but we're all imitating the Lord Jesus Christ and trying to be holy as he is holy, so there should be and will be similarities. And so let's just look a little bit at, how do we know if it's modest? And I want to deal specifically with clothing. How do we know if it's modest? Well, I want to start first with pretty obvious. If it doesn't cover your nakedness, it's modest. I think none of us, it's not modest.
Oh my. Well, there we go. That was real obvious.
Is everybody awake?
Okay, let's start over. If it does not cover nakedness, it is not modest. I meant to say immodest. And I realized, wait a minute, I don't think I said what I thought I said. If it does not cover nakedness, it is not modest.
Now, we all know complete nudity. I don't think anybody would say that's modest. And many people would say, oh, we have to have your private parts covered in order to be modest. I think we probably would all agree on that. But I hope that we could all agree that I think it means a little more than that as well. We're not walking around with just, like some of these primitive tribes would do, just cover just the certain parts of the body. Notice, and I don't have time to go, you know the scriptures, and I'm not saying the Bible is not important. I want you to study this later. I just want to refer to the scriptures in Genesis. Man recognized his nakedness as shameful. God covered him properly. Remember, man made the aprons. I tried to look up some of the definitions of that. The best I could understand, an apron is just a partial covering. It only covered partially, possibly only the fore part of the body, like our apron would do today. God made them coats, and that meant to cover. And when I think of that, I think of coats of goats and lambs. How much does it cover on them, their coat? All of them. So I believe that probably it was a pretty full covering. It could, in other words, that could be translated would be garment or robe. So considering the fact that robes were common, they probably were. A robe is what I would guess. But God doesn't tell us for sure, but it did mean to cover. So God also has a further definition of nakedness. I don't know if you remember with the priests, as the priests were would offer, they would have to go up steps to the altar. And God had said in Exodus 20:26, He said he didn't want them to go up the steps unto mine altar, that thy nakedness be not discovered thereon. But then he went on in Exodus 28, verse 42, and said, thou shalt make them linen breeches, or breeches, to cover their nakedness. From the loins even unto the thighs shall they reach. So as I was studying the Bible, from the Bible and getting Bible definitions, God considers here that from the loins, and the loins is like your waist or the small of your back, from the definitions I found, to your thigh. And your thigh is the soft, fleshy part of your upper leg, and ending somewhere around the knee. I probably think that your knee is where they join together, so it goes to the knee, and the knee also starts the other part of your leg. That is nakedness. God said that was nakedness. He said he did not want them to expose that. So according to the Bible, if it's going to be modest, I believe that we can see that the torso and all the way down to the knee, probably even including part of the knee, but all of that is considered nakedness. So, and one thing I found was interesting, I thought, well, I want to see if there's a slightly different word for nakedness used here, looking at some of the Greek words and things, and it's not. When God uses the word naked for when he says the whole thigh is naked, he's using the same word as when he says in, I think it's Exodus or Leviticus, when he's talking about thou shalt not go in unto thy father to expose his nakedness, or thy mother or sister or brother, and it's the same word. So God defines nakedness. So it's not modest if our nakedness is not covered. It's immodest if we're not covered. We need to be covered. Our nakedness needs to be covered. So that's one definition or one way that we can know. Are we modest? Is our nakedness covered? Have we covered everything God says is naked? And if God calls it nakedness, the word for nakedness meant shame. And remember when Adam and Eve saw they were naked, they were ashamed. They covered themselves. It should be shameful to us to expose it. Now, accidents happen. If I were leaving the church and I fell down a set of stairs and my dress came up and my whole thigh was exposed, there's a difference. Accidents happen. But do I want to wear, I want to the best of my ability to wear my things to the place to where my nakedness is not exposed. So whether I'm running, walking, I want to be careful. I don't want to expose anything God would call nakedness. This is a tricky one. This is one some people believe is not applicable to us today. I disagree for several reasons, and I don't have a lot of time to get into it. I looked at a lot of these. I studied. I listened to a lot of people. I'm just going to read this. You may disagree, and I have something to say later if you do, just a point on the other side of it. But I would say if it's not gender appropriate, it's not modest. Mm-hmm. Now, Deuteronomy 22:5 says, "The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are abomination unto the Lord thy God." Now, abomination means extreme hatred, detestation. So God detests this. He hates it. Extremely hates it. So God desires that a woman be distinctly feminine in her clothing and that a man be distinctly masculine in his clothing. Why do I believe that that's still applicable? Well, in the first place, it relates greatly to morality. And I can prove that even by statements people make today about gender and how they want to blur all of this, and the best way to start that is blurring. And I have some statements here I was going to read. I do not have time to read those, but a guy, it's called Tradvance Clothing Company, and they make some statements. The last statement they make here, with the explosion of the sexual revolution in the 1960s, men and women began to shake loose their social, political, sexual morals that were cherished, and they began challenging traditional gender rules. And they talked about how those gender rules had women dressing distinctly feminine, men dressing, and they just blur it. And that's what they want to do. They want to blur it all. So I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but we need to be careful. But another reason I believe it, in the New Testament, when God talks about such were some of you, but you've been washed in the blood, you've been changed, one of the things he says, he lists neither fornicators nor idolaters nor adulterers nor effeminate. God still, and that word means a man who's being feminine. God did not want the man to still be feminine. And I believe God knew when he put Deuteronomy 22:5 in the Bible, he knew exactly what he meant. Some people say, oh, that only referred to something that the women were doing by putting on man's armor. Well, God could have just said that. And why did he include the men? I believe it's because God created male and female. He wants them to be, there's only two sexes. I found out recently the word gender is actually a word that they like, because then they can say you can't say there's more than two sexes, but you can say there's more than two genders, and they like that. But God created two. You're either male or female.
Mm-hmm.
And then God wanted us to be distinctly that. And the blurring of those starts with the clothing. The unisex movement tried to come in, and they began their objective. They said it was to blur the gender distinction and change the rules. So, and they said it would begin with getting different clothing. This is totally against God's plan, and it opens the door to so many things. Transgenderism, sodomy, many perversions start with trying to blur those rules and keep the distinction separate, to blend the separation that God made between male and female. Also, I see cross-dressing. Now, I don't know how much you see that in Ghana. I do know that at one time it was against the law in both countries, and I know they're behind us over there in the way they deal with it, but I think it's becoming increasingly popular, and that's because they're becoming westernized, and you're getting some of the Western movies and things like that are popularizing this. But I do know that most of us still would say it's very disgusting to see a man dressed in a woman's dress. We would just, oh, it's disgusting. We do, because it is. It should be. It's wrong. God says it's abomination. It disgusts sin too. Approximately 100 years ago, it was the same way, the other direction. When the women initially put on men's clothing, I know at the beginning their reasons were very honorable. They stepped up and did what the men could not do because they'd gone off to war, and they were. I read some things that said clothing allowances. Clothing was scarce, and so they were wearing their men's clothing to protect their clothing, and I understand, humanly speaking, why some of that did, but what happened was it never stopped. They never went back. They liked it. They liked the freedom. They liked working the men's jobs. They liked all of this, and it's what it began was a promotion of rebellion, women's equality, women's rights, and it's led to so many things. In its initial, there were honorable reasons and honorable motives, but the devil has taken and greatly just really just mess with a lot of stuff, but I need to keep moving. The next thing, so that as I study that, I can see that the devil is behind a lot of that, and he has reasons for it. And I know some people say, but it's been so long, it's not seen that way anymore. And I'll have a comment to make to that in a little bit. If you disagree and you say, well, I believe that a woman could wear something that is very feminine and womanly, And I'll give you a comment to that as I do with my next step. So I'm going to just get there. And I'm probably moving too fast, but my time is so short. So the next one. So if it's, let's go back and let's review. So I have three simple things. If it does not cover nakedness, it is not modest. If it is not gender appropriate, it is not modest. If it advertises the body and sensuality instead of purity, it is not modest. Now, in the Bible, clothing communicated things. It communicated gender. We see that from Deuteronomy 22:5. We also see when they wore sackcloth, that communicated repentance or mourning. It also, anyone remember from Proverbs 7? What did her clothing communicate? She had the attire of a harlot on. So it communicated, hey, I'm available. Today, if you saw a woman in a long white dress, what would that communicate? Walking down an aisle of a church, a wedding. I think it's probably similar in Ghana. What if you saw a policeman? Can you picture his clothing? I know I can. I can kind of think what they're going to look like. You're going to recognize him. In fact, if someone comes and tries to arrest me and they don't look like a policeman, I'm not going to be listening to him. How about a Marine?
They
look a certain way. How about in Ghana, some of your army, the people that are in the army, how they look? How about a nurse? They have specific clothing so we know who they are. Whether a woman realizes it or not, we communicate with our clothing. Do our clothing say something? We want it to say, I love the Lord. I'm not for sale. I'm not advertising my body. My body is for my husband, present or future, or for the Lord and his glory. And so remember the verse. I quoted this earlier. Whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. We don't want to cause that. We don't want to be a stumbling block. The verse in Romans 14:13, I'm going to read that later, but it pretty much says that no man put a stumbling block or occasion to fall in his brother's way. I don't want to be a stumbling block. Purposefully, and if someone wants to be one purposely, they're not going to listen to any of this. They don't care. But if we really have a heart for the Lord, and maybe we didn't realize how a man responds to something, we're going to say, I didn't know I was doing that. I don't want to do that. And maybe we'll say, well, I'm not 100% sure that this clothing does that, but I'm going to check it out. Maybe I'll ask a few men, does that bother you? Do you see this? I would remember this. People get used to things that they see, and sometimes men say, well, that doesn't bother me. But a good godly man who's trying to be right. I mean, some men are viewing pornography and they're so, you know, they're wicked. They're in a whole different class. They're looking at things and they're seared. But what about the godly man who's trying to keep his mind right? And then we come and we present our body in a wrong way. We don't want to be causing men to lust. So let's look. I want to just examine some styles that are out and just throw some things out here very quickly, and I have to hurry. I'm going to be a little bit over, but hopefully not much. Form-fitting or tight tops. Skirts or dresses, form-fitting dresses, form-fitting skirts. What about those? Would they be modest?
No.
My answer would be no as well, because they emphasize a woman's figure. They direct attention to certain parts, to things that are forbidden outside of marriage. Men say that the shape and form of a woman's body will draw their attention and cause lust just about as quickly as an uncovered body will. So we need to be careful. We have to be careful. Sometimes, ladies, nobody likes to say, I'm now in a large, when you were in a medium. But sometimes our clothes get too small, and we're going to have to go up a size. Sometimes they're making the clothes too small, and you have to go up a size because everything they're making is way too form-fitting, and you're going to have to get something that actually fits you. Those are things to consider. How about the next thing? How about sheer or see-through styles? You know, they're sheer. You can see straight through them. I gave the example of my shirt that I didn't realize was kind of sheer in the light. Would those be, if you're seeing through to your toes, that's one thing. But if you're seeing through to your body parts that are supposed to, it's almost the same as if it is naked, if you can see through to it. And so we need to be careful. Actually, it's probably more teasing and tantalizing to a man because it's teasing. You know, I hate to even, but I'm going to. I don't like to talk about these things, but a strip tease joint, what do? They tease them a little bit, put it back a little bit, you know, and I don't know. I've never seen, but that's what I get from that. We don't want to be teasing. We don't want to be now you see, now you don't, you know, kind of stuff. We don't want to do that. We need to be careful. How about too short on the bottom and too low on the top? Well, what's that usually happen? You got cleavage showing, and we're all built differently, so we're all going to have to be, what one person might be able to get away with, another person might not be able to get away with. But we need to be careful. So we don't want to be drawing attention to parts of our body that we shouldn't be. Remember again God's definition of nakedness. If it's uncovering what God calls nakedness, it's too short. It's too low. Also, be careful. Maybe you say, well, I don't have a problem with that. I'm really careful. I have been. I had a shirt that looked like it was fine, and I put it on and didn't give it a thought. When it bent over, I didn't realize it didn't stay where I thought it stayed, and I was exposing myself. We have to be careful. Be careful. I would suggest bend over. Bend over, look at the top. Bend over. I had a skirt that was very full, and when I bent over, it came over halfway up my thigh. I had no idea. I was like, I felt a lot of air. I went and did it before a mirror, and I'm like, whoa. It was plenty long, but the way it was made, it, we need to be careful. We don't want to expose ourselves in any way. How about knit, stretchy materials? Those materials are very popular today, and they're comfortable. But we have to be careful. I'm not saying not to wear them, but you may need an extra layer underneath because they conform. They cling in all the wrong places. They show the lines of undergarments that don't need to be shown and take a man's mind to a place it doesn't need to go. I mean, it's just really not classy anyway to have the line of your underwear showing through your garment. So we need to be careful. Exposed, and this happens accidentally sometimes, but exposing things that are meant as underclothing that are known as underclothing. You know, women today, they got the bra strap showing on purpose, or they got the low-riding pants and skirts, so when you bend over, you see their undergarment there as well. That's improper. God does not want that, and we need to be careful. Now, you may say, and I just want to deal with this one real quickly, you may say, well, I disagree with your, I think that a woman could wear women's pants, and that would be appropriate today, and that would be all right. Here's what I want to ask you then. I just want to ask you this, okay, if you say that. Then the very nature of a woman's pants, you're going to have to be extremely careful because by very nature, they're made for women and they're made tighter and they're made to hug certain, well, they're made to hug. They're made to hug your hips, your thighs, your buttocks. It's made to be tight in the crotch. I mean, by the time you get them where they're modest, do you really want to wear them? Most times not. And so we need to be careful. Also, modest could mean extreme. And so I put this here, excessive jewelry, makeup, extravagant clothing. That just draw attention to you. If I came in here and I was wearing something, what?
Quarter.
Yeah, just you know, I was going to say something like the president's wife would wear, but I'm just glittering all over, and you know, I'm drawing attention to myself. God does not want me to be drawing attention, and that's immodest because I'm drawing attention. So we need to be careful. I want to also one of my last things I put here because some people go to extremes. So you got that extreme. You know, of dressing very extravagant, very, very above everybody else in the way they're dressing. You're drawing attention by how expensive your fashion is or how showy it is, how glamorous it is. Those are not modest. But also, some people think, well, the more sloppy I am and I just don't pay any attention to how I look, and that's modest. No, that's not modest either. You're going to draw attention by being a slob. And your husband doesn't want a slob. And it's not pleasing to the Lord. God's a God of order. And modesty, part of the definition of modesty had to do with order and had to do with good behavior. And so I think good behavior is someone who's clean, someone who's wholesome, someone who is not just presenting someone that looks like they just stepped out of the dustbin and they haven't combed their hair. That's not modest. Modesty is not a lack of attention to physical externals. It's not overly, and it's not under. It's just paying proper attention so that we don't distract from what God can do with us, with other people, so we're not attracting attention to our body. But we can. The Bible says, as woman, women here, it says, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. God wants us to be drawn. The Bible says also, beauty is vain, but a woman that fears the Lord, she shall be praised. We don't want our clothing to be what's attractive, or our body, or our shape. You know, what you attract people, what attracts people to you, especially if you're not married, is going to be important for the relationship. You know, if they're attracted to your external body and to all of that, then you're going to be, that's what you're going to get. And when that external body changes and you can't dress it up or you can't cover it up as much, if you're going to lose it. I want them to be attracted, and especially when I'm not trying to sexually attract somebody, and I shouldn't be. Unless it's my husband. We shouldn't. I'm really getting in the woods here. But when we want other people to see godly character, that's what. And beauty. Beauty is not something that can be hidden. And we don't need to hide our beauty. We don't need to try to look unfeminine. There's nothing wrong with feminine form. But we don't emphasize it. That's my point. We're not drawing attention to it where the first thing someone looks at you, they see this part or that part or all the sexual parts of you. That's not what we're trying to do. We want people to see a godly, wholesome Christian woman who loves the Lord, and we want them to see past us to the Lord Jesus Christ shining out of our lives. And that's why it's such an oxymoron when someone dresses appropriately on the outside and then they've got a bitter spirit and an angry heart and a backbiting tongue and all those things that are not modest either. An arrogant attitude or a flirty spirit. That's why what's in the heart needs to be portrayed outwardly. And sometimes, yes, people put a cover on and it's not an accurate portrayal of what's in the heart. God wants us, he doesn't want us to say, well, this is how my heart is, so here it is. You get me and I'm bold and I'm arrogant and I'm immodest and I don't care. That's not what God is wanting to say. God wants us to say, Lord, change my heart and then help me portray that on the outward. Help me be pleasing to you. Now, you may not agree with everything I said. You may think I went too far. I tried to stick with the word of God and just make you think about just the whole parts. We're not wanting a man to lust after us. If it's a sin for them to lust, it's a sin for us to draw attention and cause that lust. If they lust and we dress properly, that's not our problem. And there are some men who probably would do that. But our problem is what we are doing and whether we're godly. Let me read a verse here. I'm going to end with this. Romans 14, 12 and 13. I read part of 13 before. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. We'll each stand before God. If I'm wrong with something I've said today, I'll stand before God one day. If you are wrong, you'll stand. You won't give an account to me. We'll give account to God. That's good to remember. And what you do is not between me and you. If you disagree with me next time I see you, I don't think ill of you. I don't think you're not a Christian. I don't judge you. You're doing what God, you do what God wants you to do. I'll do what God wants me to do. But let's finish reading. Let us not, therefore, judge one another anymore, but judge rather this, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. That's what we need to be judging, God says. So I hope that I was clear. I knew it was going to be long. I think it's a topic that really should take a lot more than one class. But I'm glad you listened. Any questions, please send me questions. Message me if you need to. Send a message to my husband. Talk to me in person here. I wish we could talk in person with all of us.
Yeah, would that be fun?
Yes, but so.
It'd take 3 hours.
It would take a long time, but we'd enjoy it. And you ladies over there, maybe discuss with each other. And I'm sure Pastor Dari's wife, Salome, I'm sure you could answer questions if people have them. But let's be teaching girls in this day and age, modesty is still proper and right and pleasing to God. So we love y'all, and we'll talk to you next week.